I-11 New Rhythms. Eshenai waved her hand as she climbed the central spire of Narak, trying to shoo away the tiny spren. It danced around her head, shedding rings of light from its comet-like form. Horrid thing. Why would it not leave her alone? Perhaps it could not stay away. She was experiencing something wonderfully new, after all. Something that had not been seen in centuries. Storm form. A form of true power. A form given of the gods. She continued up the steps, feet clinking in her shard plate. It felt good on her. She had held this form for 15 days now, 15 days of hearing new rhythms. At first, she had attuned those often, but this had made some people very nervous. She had backed off and forced herself to attune the old familiar ones when speaking. It was difficult, for those old rhythms were so dull. Buried within those new rhythms, the names of which she intuited somehow, she could almost hear voices speaking to her, advising her. If her people had received such guidance over the centuries, they surely would not have fallen so far. Eshenai reached the top of the spire where the other four awaited her. Again, her sister Venli was also there, and she wore the new form as well, with its spiking armor plates, its red eyes, its lithe danger. This meeting would proceed very differently from the previous one. Eshenai cycled through the new rhythms, careful not to hum them. The others weren't ready yet. She sat down, then gasped. That rhythm, it sounded like her own voice yelling at her, screaming in pain. What was that? She shook her head and found that she had reflexively pulled her hand to her chest in anxiety. When she opened it, the comet-like spren shot out. She attuned irritation. The others of the five regarded her with heads cocked, a couple humming to curiosity. Why did she act as she did? Eshenai settled herself, shard plate grinding against stone. This close to the lull, the time called the weeping by the humans, high storms were growing more rare. That had created a small impediment in her march to see every listener given storm form. There had only been one storm since Eshenai's own transformation, and during it, Venli and her scholars had taken storm form, along with 200 soldiers, chosen by Eshenai. Not officers, common soldiers, the type she was sure would obey. The next high storm was mere days away, and Venli had been gathering her spren. They had thousands ready. It was time. Eshenai regarded the others of the five. Today's clear sky rained down white sunlight, and a few windspren approached on a breeze. They stopped when they grew near, then zipped away in the opposite direction.
"Why have you called this meeting?" Eshenai asked the others. "You've been speaking of a plan," Davim said, broad worker's hands clasped before him. "You've been telling everyone of it. Shouldn't you have brought it to the five first?"
"I'm sorry," Eshenai said. "I am merely excited. I believe, however, we should now be the six."
"That has not been decided," Abernai said, weak and plump. Mate form was disgusting. "This moves too quickly."
"We must move quickly," Eshenai replied to resolve. "We have only two high storms before the lull. You know what the spies report. The humans are planning a final push toward us, toward Narak."
"It is a pity," Abernai said to consideration, "that your meeting with them went so poorly."
"They wanted to tell me of the destruction they planned to bring," Eshenai lied. "They wanted to gloat. That was the only reason they met with me."
"We need to be ready to fight them," Davim said to anxiety.
Eshenai laughed, a blatant use of emotion, but she truly felt it.
"Fight them? Haven't you been listening? I can summon a high storm."
"With help?" Chivi said to curiosity. "Nimble form, another weak form. They should expunge that one from their ranks.
You have said you cannot do it alone. How many others would you need? Certainly the 200 you have now are enough.
No, that is not nearly enough, Eshenai replied. I feel that the more people we have in this form, the more likely we are to succeed. I would like, therefore, to move that we transform.
Yes, Chivi said. But how many of us?
All of us.
Davim hummed to amusement, thinking it must be a joke. He trailed off as the rest sat in silence.
We will have just one chance, Eshenai said to Resolve. The humans will leave their war camps together, in one large army that intends to reach Narok during the lull. They will be completely exposed on the plateaus with no shelter. A high storm at that time would destroy them.
We don't even truly know if you can summon one, Abranai said to skepticism.
That is why we need as many of us in storm form as possible, Eshenai said. If we miss this opportunity, our children will sing us the songs of cursing, assuming they even live long enough to do so. This is our chance. Our one chance. Imagine the 10 armies of men, isolated on the plateaus, buffeted and overwhelmed by a tempest they could never have expected. With storm form, we would be immune to its effects. If any survive, we could destroy them easily.
It is tempting, Davim said.
I do not like the look of those who have taken this form, Chivi said. I do not like how people clamor to be given it. Perhaps 200 are enough.
Eshenai, Davim said, how does this form feel?
He was asking more than he actually said. Each form changed a person in some ways. War form made you more aggressive. Mate form made you easy to distract. Nimble form encouraged focus. And work form made you obedient. Eshenai attuned peace. No, that was the screaming voice. How had she spent weeks in this form and not noticed?
I feel alive, Eshenai said to Joy. I feel strong, and I feel powerful. I feel a connection to the world that I should have always known. Davim, this is like the change from dull form to one of the other forms. It is that much of an upgrade. Now that I hold this strength, I realize I wasn't fully alive before.
She lifted her hand and made a fist. She could feel the energy coursing down her arm as the muscles flexed, though it was hidden beneath the shard plate.
Red eyes, Abranai whispered. Have we come to this?
If we decide to do this, Chivi said. Perhaps we four should assess it first, then say if the others should join us. Venli opened her mouth to speak, but Chivi waved her hand, interrupting her. You have had your say, Venli. We know what you wish.
We cannot wait, unfortunately, Eshenai said. If we want to trap the Alethi armies, we will need time to transform everyone before the Alethi leave to search for Narok.
I'm willing to try it, Abranai said. Perhaps we should propose a mass transformation to our people.
No.
Zuln spoke to peace. The dull form member of the five sat slouched, looking at the ground before her. She almost never said anything. Eshenai attuned annoyance.
What was that?
No,
Zuln repeated.
It is not right.
I would have us all be in agreement, Davim said. Zuln, can you not listen to reason?
It is not right,
the dull form said again.
She is dull, Eshenai said. We should ignore her.
Davim hummed to anxiety.
Zuln represents the past, Eshenai. You shouldn't say such things of her. The past is dead.
Abranai joined Davim in humming to anxiety.
Perhaps this is worth more thought. Eshenai, you do not speak as you used to. I hadn't realized the changes were so stark.
Eshenai attuned one of the new rhythms, the rhythm of fury. She held the song inside and found herself humming.
These were so cautious, so weak. They would see her people destroyed.
We will meet again later today, Davim said. Let us spend time considering. Eshenai, I would speak with you alone during that period, if you are willing.
Of course.
They rose from their places atop the pillar. Eshenai stepped to the edge and looked down as the others filed down. The spire was too high to jump from, even in Shardplate. She so wanted to try. It seemed that every person in the city had gathered around the base to await the decision. In the weeks since Eshenai's transformation, talk of what had happened to her, then the others, had infused the city with a certain mixture of anxiety and hope. Many had come to her, begging to be given the form. They saw the chance it offered.
They're not going to agree to it, Venli said from behind once the others were down.
She spoke to Spite, one of the new rhythms.
You spoke too aggressively, Eshenai.
Davim is with us, Eshenai said to Confidence. Chivi will come too with Persuasion.
That isn't enough. If the five do not come to a consensus,
don't worry.
Our people must take that form, Eshenai, Venli said. It is inevitable.
Eshenai found herself attuning the new version of amusement. Ridicule, it was. She turned to her sister.
You knew, didn't you? You knew exactly what this form would do to me. You knew this before you took the form yourself.
Yes.
Eshenai grabbed her sister by the front of her robe, then yanked her forward, holding her tightly. With Shardplate it was easy, though Venli resisted more than she should have been able to, and a small spark of red lightning ran across the woman's arms and face. Eshenai was not accustomed to such strength from her scholar of a sister.
You could have destroyed us, Eshenai said. What if this form had done something terrible?
Screaming in her head, Venli smiled.
How did you discover this? Eshenai asked. It didn't come from the songs. There is more.
Venli did not speak. She met Eshenai's eyes and hummed to Confidence.
We must make certain the five agree to this plan, she said. If we are to survive and if we are to defeat the humans, we must be in this form. All of us. We must summon that storm. It has been waiting, Eshenai. Waiting and building.
I will see to it, Eshenai said, dropping Venli. You can gather enough Spren for us to transform all of our people.
My staff have been working on it these 3 weeks. We will be ready to transform thousands upon thousands over the course of the final 2 high storms before the lull.
Good.
Eshenai started down the steps.
Sister? Venli asked. You are planning something. What is it? How will you persuade the five?
Eshenai continued down the steps. With the added balance and strength of Shardplate, she didn't need to bother with the chains to steady herself. As she neared the bottom where the others of the five were speaking to the people, she stopped a short distance above the crowd and drew in a deep breath. Then as loudly as she could, Eshenai shouted,
In 2 days, I will take any who wish to go into the storm and give them this new form.
The crowd stilled, their humming dropping off.
The five seek to deny you this right, Eshenai bellowed. They don't want you to have this form of power. They are frightened, like kremlings hiding in cracks. They cannot deny you. It is the right of every person to choose their own form.
She raised her hands above her head, humming to resolve, and summoned a storm. A tiny one, a mere trickle compared to what waited. It grew between her hands, a wind coursing with lightning, a miniature tempest in her palms, light and power, wind spinning in a vortex. It had been centuries since this power had been used, and so, like a river that had been dammed. The energy waited impatiently to be freed. The tempest grew so that it whipped at her clothing, spinning around her in a swirl of wind, crackling red lightning and dark mist. Finally, it dissipated. She heard awe being sung throughout the crowd. Full songs, not humming. Their emotions were strong.
"With this power," Eshenai declared, "we can destroy the Alethi and protect our people. I have seen your despair. I have heard you sing to mourning. It need not be so. Come with me into the storms. It is your right, your duty to join with me."
Behind her on the steps, Venli hummed to tension.
"This will divide us, Eshenai. Too aggressive, too abrupt."
"It will work," Eshenai said to confidence. "You do not know them as I do."
Below, the other members of the Five were glaring up at her, looking betrayed, though she could not hear their songs. Eshenai marched to the bottom of the spire, then pushed her way through the crowd, being joined by her soldiers in storm form. The people made way for her, many humming to anxiety. Most who had come were workers or nimble forms. That made sense. The war forms were too pragmatic for gawking. Eshenai and her storm form warriors left the town's center ring. She allowed Venli to tag along behind, but paid the woman no heed. Eshenai eventually approached the barracks on the leeward side of the city, a large group of buildings built together to form a community for the soldiers. Though her troops were not required to sleep here, many did so. The practice grounds, one plateau over, were busy with the sounds of warriors honing their skills, or, more likely, newly transformed soldiers being trained. The 2nd Division, 128 in number, were away watching for humans entering the middle plateaus. Scouts in war pairs roamed the plains. She'd set them on this task soon after obtaining her form, as she had known even then that she would need to change the way this battle worked. She wanted every bit of information about the Alethi and their current tactics that she could get. Her soldiers would ignore chrysalises for the time being. She would not lose soldiers to that petty game any longer, not when each man and woman under her command represented the potential of storm form. The other divisions were all here, however. 17,000 soldiers total. A mighty force in some ways, but also so few compared to what they had once been. She raised her hand in a fist, and her Stormform division raised the call for all soldiers in the listener army to gather. Those practicing set down their weapons and jogged over. Others left the barracks. In a short time, all had joined her.
"It is time to end the fight against the Alethi," Eshenai announced in a loud voice. "Which of you are willing to follow me in doing so?"
Humming to resolve moved through the crowd. So far as she could hear, not a one hummed to skepticism.
Excellent. "This will require each soldier to join me in this form," Eshenai shouted,
her words being relayed through the ranks. More humming to resolve.
"I am proud of you," Eshenai said. "I am going to have the Storm Division go among you and take your word, each of you, on this transformation. If there are any here who do not wish to change, I would know of it personally. It is your decision by right, and I will not force you. But I must know."
She looked to her storm forms, who saluted and broke apart, moving in war pairs. Eshenai stepped back, folding her arms, watching as these visited each other division in turn. The new rhythms thrummed in her skull, though she stayed away from the rhythm of peace with its strange screams. There was no fighting against what she had become. The eyes of the gods were too strongly upon her. Nearby, some soldiers gathered, familiar faces beneath hardened skull plates, the men bearing bits of gemstone tied to their beards. Her own division, once her friends. She could not quite explain why she had not chosen them at first for the transformation, instead picking 200 soldiers from across many divisions. She'd needed soldiers who were obedient, but not known for their brightness. Thude and the soldiers of Eshenai's former division, they knew her too well. They would have questioned. Soon she had gotten word. Of her 17,000 troops, only a handful refused the required transformation. Those who had declined were gathered on the practice grounds. As she contemplated her next move, Thude approached. Tall and thick-limbed, he had always worn war form, save for 2 weeks as a mate to Bila. He hummed to resolve, the way for a soldier to indicate a willingness to obey orders.
"I'm worried about this, Eshenai," he said. "Do so many need to change?" "If we do not transform," Eshenai said, "we are dead. The humans will ruin us."
He continued to hum to resolve to indicate he trusted her. His eyes seemed to tell another story. Melu, of her storm forms, returned and saluted.
"The counting is finished, sir."
"Excellent," Eshenai said. "Pass word to the troops.
We're going to do the same thing for everyone in the city."
"Everyone?" Thude said to anxiety.
"Our time is short," Eshenai said. "If we do not act, we will miss our opportunity to move against the humans. We have 2 storms left. I want every willing person in this city ready to take up storm form before those have passed us. Those who will not are given that right, but I want them gathered so we may know where we stand."
"Yes, General," Melu said.
"Use a tight scouting formation," Eshenai said, pointing toward parts of the city. "Move through the streets, counting every person. Use the non-storm form divisions, too, for speed. Tell the common people that we're trying to determine how many soldiers we will have for the coming battle, and have our soldiers be calm and sing to peace. Put those people who are willing to transform into the central ring. Send those who are unwilling out here. Give them an escort, so that they do not get lost."
Venli stepped up to her, as Melu passed the word, sending ranks out to obey. Thude rejoined his division. Every half year they did an accounting to determine their numbers, and see if the forms were properly balanced. Once in a while they would need more volunteers to become mates or workers. Most often, they needed more war forms. That meant this exercise was familiar to the soldiers, and they took easily to the orders. After years of war, they were accustomed to doing as she said. Many had the same depression that the regular people expressed, only for the troops it manifested as bloodlust. They just wanted to fight. They would probably have charged head-on against the human encampments, and 10 times their own numbers, if Eshenai ordered. "The 5 all but handed this to me," she thought, as the first of the unwilling began to trickle out of the city, guarded by her soldiers. "For years I've been absolute leader of our armies, and every person among us with a hint of aggression has been given to me as a soldier." Workers would obey. It was their nature. Many of the Nimbles who hadn't transformed yet were loyal to Venli, as the majority of them aspired to be scholars. The mates wouldn't care, and the few dulls would be too numb of brain to object. The city was hers. "We'll have to kill them, unfortunately," Venli said, watching the unwilling be gathered. They huddled together, afraid, despite the soft songs of the soldiers. "Will your troops be able to do it?"
"No," Eshenai said, shaking her head. "Many would resist us if we did this now. We will have to wait for all of my soldiers to be transformed. They will not object, then."
"That's sloppy," Venli said to spite. "I thought you commanded their loyalty."
"Do not question me," Eshenai said. "I control this city, not you."
Venli quieted, though her humming to spite continued. She would attempt to seize control from Eshenai. It was an uncomfortable realization.
as was the realization of how deeply Eshinai herself wanted to be in control. That didn't feel like her. Not at all. None of this feels like me. The new rhythm's beats surged in her mind. She turned from such thoughts as a group of soldiers approached, towing a shouting figure. Abrani, of the Five. She should have realized that he'd be trouble. He maintained mate form too easily, avoiding its distractions. Transforming him would have been dangerous, she thought. He has too much control over himself. As the Stormform soldiers pulled him to Eshinai, his shouts beat against her.
This is outrageous! The dictates of the Five rule us, not the will of a single person. Can't you see that the new form, is overriding her? You've all lost your minds, or worse.
It was discomfortingly close to the truth.
Put him with the others, Eshinai said, gesturing toward the group of dissidents. What if the rest of the Five?
They agreed, Melu said. Some were reluctant, but they agreed.
Go and fetch Zulm.
Put her with the dissenters. I don't trust her to do what is needed.
The soldier didn't question as she towed Abrani away. There were perhaps 1,000 dissenters there on the large plateau that made up the practice grounds. An acceptably small number.
Eshinai.
The song was sung to Anxiety. She turned as Thude approached.
I don't like this, what we're doing here.
Bother. She had worried that he would be difficult. She took him by the arm, leading him a ways off. The new rhythms cycled through her mind as her armored feet crunched on the stones. Once they were far enough away from Venli and the others for some privacy, she turned Thude to look him in the eyes.
Out with it, she said to irritation, picking one of the old familiar rhythms for him.
Eshinai, he said quietly. This isn't right. You know it's not right. I agreed to change, every soldier did. But it's not right.
Do you disagree that we needed new tactics in this war? Eshinai said to resolve.
We were dying slowly, Thude.
We did need new tactics, Thude said.
But this... Something's wrong with you, Eshinai.
No, I just needed an excuse for such extreme action. Thude, I've been considering something like this for months. A coup? Not a coup. A refocusing. We are doomed if we don't change our methods. My only hope was Venli's research. The only thing she turned up was this form. Well, I've got to try and use it. Make one last attempt to save our people. The Five tried to stop me. I've heard you yourself complain about how much they talk instead of acting.
He hummed to consideration. She knew him well enough, however, to sense when he was forcing a rhythm. The beat was too obvious, too strong. I almost convinced him, she thought. It's the red eyes. I've instilled in him and some of the others of my own division too much of a fear of our gods. It was a shame, but she'd probably have to see him and her other former friends executed.
I see you're not convinced, Eshinai said.
I don't know, Eshinai. This seems bad.
I'll talk you through it later, Eshinai said. I don't have time right now.
And what are you going to do to those?
Thude asked, nodding toward the dissenters.
This looks an awful lot like a roundup of people who don't agree with you.
Eshinai, did you realize your own mother was among them?
She started, looking and seeing her aging mother being guided to the group by 2 Stormforms. They hadn't even come to her with the question. Did that mean they were extra obedient, following her orders no matter what? Or were they worried she would weaken because her mother refused to change? She could hear her mother singing, one of the old songs, as she was guided.
You can watch over that group, Eshinai said to Thude. You and soldiers you trust. I'll put my own division in charge of the people there, you at their head. That way nothing will happen to them without your agreement.
He hesitated, then nodded, humming to consideration for real this time. She let him go, and he jogged over to Bila and a few others of Eshenai's former division. Poor trusting Thud, she thought as he took command of guarding the dissenters. Thank you for rounding yourself up so neatly.
This was handled well, Venli said, as Eshenai walked back to her. Can you control the city long enough for the transformation?
Easily, Eshenai said, nodding to the soldiers who came to give her a report. Just make certain you can deliver the proper spren and in the proper quantities.
I will, Venli said to satisfaction.
Eshenai took the reports. Everyone who had agreed was gathered in the center of the city. It was time to speak to them and deliver the lies she'd prepared. That the five would be reinstated once the humans were dealt with. That there was no reason to worry. That everything was just fine. Eshenai strode into a city that was now hers, flanked by soldiers in the new form. She summoned her blade for effect, the last one her people owned, resting it on her shoulder. She made her way to the center of the city, passing melted buildings and shacks built from carapace. It was a wonder that those things survived the storms. Her people deserved better. With the return of the gods, they would have better. Irritatingly, it took some time to get the people ready for her speech. Some 20,000 non-warforms gathered together was quite a sight. Looking upon them, the city's population did not seem nearly so small. Still, this was a fraction of their original numbers. Her soldiers seated them all, prepared messengers to deliver her words to those not near enough to hear. As she waited for the preparations, she listened to reports regarding the population. Surprisingly, the majority of those who had dissented were workers. They were supposed to be obedient. Well, the greater number of them were elderly, the ones who had not fought in the war against the Alethi, those who had not been forced to watch their friends be killed. She waited by the base of the pillar until everything was ready. She climbed the steps to begin her speech, but stopped as she noticed Varanus, one of her lieutenants, running toward her. He was one she had chosen for Stormform. Suddenly alert, Eshenai attuned the rhythm of destruction.
General, he said to Anxiety. They've escaped. Who?
The ones you had us set apart. The ones who did not want to transform, they've fled.
Well, chase them down, Eshenai said to Spite. They can't get far. The workers won't be able to jump chasms. They can only go as far as the bridges allow. General, they cut down one of the bridges, then used the ropes to climb down into the chasm itself. They've fled through those. Then they're dead anyway, Eshenai said. There's a storm in 2 days. They'll be caught in the chasms and killed. Ignore them.
What if they're guards? Venli demanded to Spite, shoving her way up beside Eshenai. Why weren't they being watched?
The guards went with them, Varanus said. Eshenai, Thud was leading those—
No matter, Eshenai said. You are dismissed.
Varanus retreated.
You aren't surprised, Venli said to Destruction. Who are these guards that are willing to help their prisoners escape? What have you done, Eshenai?
Do not challenge me.
I
do not challenge me, Eshenai said,
grabbing her sister by the neck with a gauntleted hand.
Kill me and you'll ruin everything, Venli said, not a hint of fear in her voice. They'll never follow a woman who murdered her own sister in public. And only I can provide the spren you need for this transformation.
Eshenai hummed to the rhythm of derision, but let go.
I'm going to make my speech.
She turned her back on Venli and stepped up to address the people.